a little gloomy today, but yesterday was that lovely day. I, not being a gardener, in fact, a very bad gardener, managed to dash out for an hour, took my company with me, and cleared up some of that dead stuff. And when I got back, my neighbors, very appreciative, had put pansies in the window box. As we walked in today, someone said, "Today's service is all about kind of clearing away that dead stuff." As I tried to do it yesterday, I realized I may have been clearing away some things that could have come back to life or not. I had no clue. But got in there, stirred up the earth, and something came together. So today's service, we're going to be traveling in a moment after we sing to that valley of dry bones and find out how we all can stir up some life. We're going to start off the sermon by a very special hymn written by Fred Graham. Fred Graham, who, as you know, teaches music at Emmanuel College, was having an organ transplant about the time that he wrote this hymn. And the organ transplant literally brought him back to life and gave him a new identity. Our sermon today has some sturdy metaphors that has to do with bones and life, and so let's sing to get us in the framework. Marvelous words, and today we hear some powerful words from Ezekiel. It tells of Ezekiel being led by God into a valley of dry bones. It's a desolate scene. God asks, "Mortal, can these bones live?" And Ezekiel, seeing no evidence of hope, says, "Well, I don't know, Lord." Then God tells Ezekiel to speak to the bones. That's what Ezekiel does best. He's a prophet not quite in his own right mind, or you wouldn't be a prophet if you really were in your own right mind. Ezekiel has the power to paint compelling pictures through his words. So he starts to speak. You can hear maybe just a bit of a rattle and a stir, and then God breathes. And God tells Ezekiel to call to the four winds, and the breath builds, the bones creak and rattle and come together in Ezekiel's vision as a multitude. It's not over yet. Then God tells Ezekiel that it's like the house of his ancestors. It will come together again, and those who've been cut off will be reconnected. Bones, in fact, are the strongest and most enduring part of our bodies. They carry memories and the storylines of the generations we've come from. The bones of our past can tug us back sometimes to reconnect and even discover something essential about ourselves. In January, the people of South Sudan voted to create a new nation. This was after a long civil war. And you know the story of the lost boys of Sudan. Thousands of children were displaced during that civil war. Many were forced to become boy soldiers. Others were sent from their homes as little kids by their families. The United States gave refugee status to 3,800 of the boys who would become known as the Lost Boys of Sudan. They had to forge their way hundreds of miles through swamps, desert, and hostile territory. Well, now that Sudan is about to become the world's newest nations, many of these boys are leaving the material comfort they're finding in the United States to go back. Some already went back in January to cast their vote, even though they could have voted abroad. Here's what some of them said. We want to be in Sudan to feel that connection, to look at the graves, to think about the fallen. Another one, Joseph Khan, had not seen his parents for 20 years. He said, I belong here. The rest of the world doesn't need me, no. But these people, they need me. I have a reason why I'm still alive, the reason to tell the whole world that these people are good people. They are human beings. They need help. And another says, I feel I must go and stand where our house was. The creation of a new nation is a breath of hope for these lost boys. I know that some of you who journey with us are in exile. We think of Flora, her hopes to go back sometime, to give something back and to restore. Many of you work in partnership with communities around the world who have been exiled. John Donahue, one of our newer members, is back to Guatemala where he took photographs of the populations who lived in the mountains for years and only later found out the war was over. Now he has photographs of people from 25 years ago that can help the ones alive today be in touch. We think of Lois Kunkel today, now in Liberia with her colleagues, going back to what was her home to not only serve, but to find something essential about herself, something close to the bone. Well now, bones can be a call to be part of restorative work. Our bones can give us a lot of trouble too, our muscular skeleton structure that carries aches and pains. You know, when I lay down in the ground a few minutes ago, I couldn't have done that 2 years ago and got up. It's amazing what yoga does, and my chiropractor does, and my massage therapist does, and my dance. You've got the picture. Our old bones need some help. Now, the new school of chiropractor, it used to be you'd go to the chiropractor, and with a deft twist, something would pop back, and you were out of there, and fine for a while, right? Well, the new school of chiropractors I've discovered think that our very bones and muscle carry our issues from our past. Hurts, traumas, losses get lodged like a little defensive posture that we're not even aware of, and then something else gets out of alignment. The new school of chiropractors, one of whom I'm visiting, asks us to breathe deeply into those places. And I'm going, oh, right, please, just give me my old one that jerks and twists it back into shape. But in fact, the breath helps. Today we hear about breath coming into bone. The chiropractor coaches us to breathe deeply where that pain in our body is, to touch it, and the breath starts to fill out those ridges and valleys. If you want to know more, see me later. The breath, the gift of breath can be healing. The gifts of words can be healing. Our bones carry many things. A Jungian analyst and psychiatrist says that people come to her when they're close to the bone, usually through a serious illness that might not have been expected, or some tragedy that touches us. It can leave us without words for the depth of what we're experiencing. Words from someone familiar with the territory can orient us. Some images and metaphors that reflect what we are experiencing can give us a starting place to deal and move forward. Is there something that's close to the bone for you this morning? And who do you turn to speak of it? Who do you turn to hear the good word? Now, if you can stand it, I'll give just one quote from a New Age healer, Louise Hay. Think what you may, her writings have helped some people into new identities. She believes that parts of our body are connected to issues. So here's what she has to say about bone marrow. It represents deepest beliefs about the self, how you support and care for yourself. And so she'll have us write the words called an affirmation. You've heard of those too. Divine Spirit is the structure of my life. I am safe and loved and totally supported. And she believes that as we choose the words and write the words, we create new identities that guide us. Here's another bone issue that has to do with loss of mental ability, muscles that can't stretch. She asks us to write the words, I breathe in life fully. I relax and trust the flow and process of life. Our scriptures this morning call us to the power of carefully chosen words and of breath. Ezekiel speaks words that causes some hope. God's breath starts to lift up the people. As we know, words can be powerfully hurtful or healing. The wrong word at the wrong time can be very destructive, can influence us, can set the course of our life in a different direction. The right word at the right time perhaps is never enough, but it acknowledges a reality and helps us move on. And so we can do some work with words, the words that we choose to think, to say about ourselves, to write, to feast upon, until they start to affect the shape of our very bone. Some would call them core beliefs. It is one of our core beliefs in our faith tradition that God brings us back to life in this life over and over to be part of this life. It's not just after death, it's in this life that we're called to live. And we're given the hope and the support to do this in whatever circumstance we're in. Sometimes it can feel like we're actually coming out of a place tomb-like where we've been hiding out, feeling isolated, not sure what can connect our current circumstance to where we want to be. Which brings us to our second scripture story and another very sturdy metaphor. The good words are heard. Come out, Lazarus. Come out of your tomb. But before we get there, we went through a very long narrative, beautifully read by Carol. And Carol must have noticed the inconsistencies in the story. It meandered. Some of the details weren't quite correct. It took a while to get around to Jesus saying those good words. Well, such is our lives that meander and are full of inconsistencies. And takes a while to get around to some good words we can stand on. When Jesus finally arrives in the village of Martha and Mary, his close friends, and hears that their brother Lazarus is dead, we're not sure what editorial comment is in that story and what exactly are Jesus' words. But it doesn't matter because he weeps, and that tells us everything. Jesus cared about Lazarus deeply. He was saddened. He mourned. We've all been there. Someone close to the bone is no longer with us. And we wonder how we can go on. But before Jesus weeps, our story says, he speaks at the grave. much like Ezekiel spoke over dry bones. And Jesus says some strange words, I am the resurrection and the life. As church-going folk, we hear these words, we're accustomed to them. But for Jesus' ancestors, this would have been a really strange concept. The early Israelites believed in resurrection, but it was resurrection upon the last day, like the end of the world has come. And when the end of the world has come, then the graves will be opened and everybody rises up into eternal consciousness. Resurrection wasn't in the here and now, and it wasn't for individuals particularly. But here is Jesus saying, I am the resurrection and the life right now, right here. Lazarus, come out and join us again. Is there a place in your life where you're maybe not sure you want to come out from? What's there to meet you? What's there to connect with that will be better than what you know now? The here and now is demanding and scary with its open-endedness. And we wonder if Lazarus wanted to come out. Think about it. He's been in there 3 or 4 days. His consciousness has already floated past the normal barriers of blood and bone and brain and journeying with eternal consciousness. Perhaps he's having that Jill Noteby, you know, the woman I'm talking about with the brain meltdown. Perhaps he's already having that beyond the body experience and merging with the cosmic story. And now he hears a beloved familiar voice saying, come back into this struggle, into these relationships, into this historical moment. Maybe Lazarus had to think about it for a minute. But anyway, the story goes that he responds and he comes because perhaps he knew that Jesus needed him for the mission at hand, for a purpose still incomplete. We're left with this story to call forth the fragments. And in fact, if Lazarus perhaps had not come and joined Jesus and Mary and Martha, our very identities could have been quite different. This early fragment of the Christian story might have been snuffed out. Oh, God would have found someone else, being God. There are others who've come, who've shown God's fullness, but maybe they wouldn't have come for a very long time. So then Jesus says, unbind him and let him go. But go where? Again, Lazarus is called from eternal life back into everyday life, and in his case, it was the struggle against empire. You'll be hearing more about it from our workshop leaders at noon. In Johannian terms, according to the Gospel of John, it's to engage again in the struggle of empire and to join the common good. It's the struggle for a new identity as people of the common good, as people of the way that Jesus calls us. Well, they're having a battle in the United States over a moral budget right now. Government just about shut down there. It was quite breathtaking. It's being called a moral budget, and the choices are pretty clear. Do we slash a lot of spending on frills like health and education and parks and give more money to the rich? Or do we ask the rich to pay a little more and give money to health, education, and parks, etc.? The same choice is looming for us in Canada. As we choose our national identity and the kind of people we want to be, voting is one way, as they did in South Sudan. As we choose the persons we're going to be, that's another thing, the words, the beliefs, the people we travel with, the words we say in our liturgy every Sunday, shapes our very bone, if you like. We become a people of the way. You know, it was Alex who said the other day, it's a pity that many people, perhaps younger people, don't know that this can be a place where we remember you. We celebrate the milestones in your life. We know you and send you forth and stay in touch over time. It's a place to celebrate life journey. But to many who haven't been around religion for a while, it can feel like a pile of old dry bones. You know, a solemn monument that you respect, but what's in it for me? In fact, we're here to reconnect those bones and come to life and rattle and roll with them. That's our message. So as we come back to life from this long winter, come away, my love, and enter into some growth, some love, some gentle purposes for you. As we unwind and as we unthaw, what are we coming back for? We might ask ourselves. Who is beckoning us into hope? And then helping us take steps, either gentle steps or racing ahead into new life. Holy Spirit, may summon us to purposes and fill us with life we haven't expected. Amen.